Okay, turn in your Bibles to Genesis 24. Get some scriptures here. Brian's going to read our main scripture, which is Genesis 24, 10 through 21. Genesis 24, 10 through 21 is the main verse. Alan, can you get to Genesis 24, 4? Genesis 24, 4. Where else do we have here? David, Isaiah 46, 10. Kenny, can you get Genesis 24:10? Phil, Isaiah 48:17. Shane, Isaiah 30:21. Devin, Acts 16:14 and 15. Justin, can you get 1 Kings 19:12 and Frank, can you get Genesis 24:27? I was thinking the other day of the issue of guidance in ministry, and I'm thinking about most of you would have heard at various times, but my parents coming to Prescott, my dad had taken a church in California that had three women preachers, and they all retired and were still in the church, and he took over the church, and so he saw that he was going to have to fight with them, and living in California and just the frustration with the whole system, so he resigned, he quit. And so the exact moment that he quit, said, "No, I'm going to leave the ministry," the guy says that the church in Prescott has just come open, and I know that you're from Prescott, so why don't you go and have a look? And so you think about that. At the exact moment, God led him to Prescott, exactly where he needed to be. And so you're sitting here today because of that, God guiding him here. I think of the two times I pioneered, and the major mark of that was God's guidance. I've told you I was announced Friday night to a city that I knew nothing about until 3 days before, or a week before rather, probably. I didn't know a single person from there. I knew nothing about it, and it's 3,000 miles away almost. And the night after being announced, a girl got saved in the concert from there who was visiting. She was on vacation and went back and told her friends, and from her, there are people that are saved today in the ministry, preaching today, because that was guidance. God led me supernaturally to that city. And then in Johannesburg, going in, a city of millions, I don't know if you can appreciate from a small town boy to go to a city of absolute millions, where it all looks the same, and to find a place, where do you start? And I wound up, in a long story, meeting the guy who was a witch doctor, communist, atheist, terrorist, witch doctor. And he led me and opened the doors, and some of his friends are pastoring today. And I wound up exactly where I needed to be. So I was thinking about this issue of guidance, and this is a crucial factor. One of the things that I had prayed, I had seen guys go in and waste huge amounts of time. I knew friends and people that had been sent out to where the mark of their ministry was. They went, and we started there, and we were there for a year and a half. We were there for 2 years, then we decided, actually, this area is the wrong place. And then we moved to another place, and so I said, "God, please help me. I don't want to waste time. Guide me." And so that's something supernatural. That is not unique to me. I didn't arrange that. It wasn't like I was so clever that you know, but I believe that it's an inheritance that every person can claim. If it affected Pastor Mitchell's ministry so much, if it affected mine so much, surely that's something that God wants to give to you if you want to do a work for God. So I want to minister on guidance and ministry. We're just going to use the part of the story of Eleazar finding a wife for his master's son. Genesis 24, 10 through 21.
Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nin. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by the well of the water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of the water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Malkah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not.
Okay. Guidance in ministry. Just before I go on the lesson, I just want to point out something that we talked about in the sermon. I want you to notice, this scripture can be used in several different ways. You can use this scripture to examine how to find a wife. Right? Because that's what he's doing. There are some basic principles of finding a wife, and that would be very valid that we could look at that. I preached from the scripture about finding a wife. There's a good theme here that you could follow in destiny from her standpoint of God meeting with you and bringing you into destiny, and that is valid. You could look at that same scripture. But we're going to look at the theme of guidance. And so just keep those things in mind, and it would be well if you want to be a student of the Bible to go back to the same scripture and pull out other themes. So, guidance in ministry. Let's think about the need for guidance. Eleazar is given a task for God. So, is that the man of God tells him that he is to go to another city. If you want, you could say this is like pioneering. And he's got a task given for God. Eleazar recognizes something, that success, and he uses the word success in here. Success is dependent on making right choices. It's a very simple thought, and he knows this. If I'm going to be successful, I have to make the right choice. He's not going to be happy saying, I went, I'm here, but he says, I have to make the right choice, and in this case, it's the choice of a wife. Genesis 24:4.
But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac.
Okay, so here's the task that he is given. But think about this. Think about how important this is. So, Isaac's happiness. Right? Yeah, I found you a wife, and this wench is going to torment you till the day you die. So, you know, I said to somebody yesterday, don't be a matchmaker. That's serious business. Someone's, for the rest of their life, you put them together. If it works out, that's great. If it doesn't work out, that's very bad. But anyway, that's a minor point. So think about it. Isaac's happiness is dependent on making a right choice. The family line. What's going to happen to the lineage of Abraham? The future of the Jewish nation. Right? Nothing like a little pressure here. Hey, you got to find a way. And the whole entire nation is dependent on you making the right choice here. And the race of the Jews. The purposes of God in the entire earth for all eternity depend on you making the right choice. But don't feel pressure. So this is life. So he understands it's not enough just to be there. Life is not just about attendance. It is about choices. And you got to make the right choice. And so that's true for you in life, is making the right choice in many different areas is absolutely critical, and that's true in ministry. I think of where I could have gone in my ministry. I shudder to think, what if Pastor Mitchell had said no to Prescott? Then where would we be today? Would we be here? I wouldn't. And so you think about that, making the right choice. So, in our scripture, it shows us now, so this thought that we need guidance. How do you make the right choice? And so, in this scripture, we're going to learn a lot of things about guidance. But think about, one of the things I want to point out, it is not merely about, sitting in your closet until God, speaks to you in crystal clarity. There's some practical issues here. So there's a couple of basic factors that influence whether or not you are going to be guided by God. Are you guidable? And I did a whole Sunday school series on that, is having a heart that can be guided. Number one is you have to have a heart that is obedient. Obedience is a critical factor in whether or not someone hears from God. And so in Eleazar's case is, first of all, man, I need guidance. I need to make a right choice. But that begins by being obedient. He did what his master wanted him to do. Verse 10. Genesis 24:10.
Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. For all his master's goods were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor.
Okay, so that is simply pointing out he did what his master wanted him to do. One of the things I notice in life is that people who are disobedient make bad decisions. Okay, people don't, the disobedience often comes first. Disobedient people are not the ones who hear life-changing messages from God that guide them. I went to South Africa. God guided me. He told me. I stumbled into Launceston not because of a voice from heaven, but it was absolutely supernatural. But I had a heart, I did have a basic heart of obedience. I wasn't maybe the brightest bulb on the tree, but I did have an obedient heart. God was able. If you're disobedient in basic areas of life, it's very unlikely that God is going to be able to guide you. So, God doesn't bless disobedience. Number two is common sense. Here's another practical issue, is that God guides people who use common sense. So, you're given a task, you gotta find a wife. So, where are you likely to meet women? In those days, there was no eHarmony or ChristianMingle.com. So where are you going to? And so the Bible says he went to a well. Right? As if he's out in the desert going, oh God, give me a wife for Isaac. God, give me a wife. Well, there's no women in the desert. Where do ladies hang out in ancient Jewish cities? At the well. It was their job to get the water. And the single girls were often the ones that would be sent first in the family. It was a bit of hierarchy there. And so this is a common sense issue, is that I see guys make this mistake. Is that, I met some people supernaturally, but on the other hand, I made some basic, I personally made some basic choices of doing that. I see guys that violate this. They desperately need God to guide them to the right people, but they don't ever go and hang out where people hang out. Right? You gotta go where, it's like fishing. Where do you fish? Where the fish are. Right? This is common sense. I use a little common sense. When God wasn't telling me with a voice from heaven what city to go to, I looked at my own strengths and weaknesses. I grew up in a small town. I don't think it would be good for a small town boy to be in a city of over 500,000 at that point in time in my life. So I wasn't even considering cities of millions. And I didn't like funky little small towns, so I don't want to go to anything under 50,000. I used some basic common sense, and that's how I arrived in exactly the right place. I chose the city, and the girl was there. They go hand in hand. So, obedience and common sense. But the issue is, you need God. That's my point. You need God. Right now in your life, you need to make right choices. So do you have an obedient heart? Are you using common sense in your life? Those will factor in. Let's look secondly at the God of guidance. So, this scripture is very encouraging because it shows the involvement of God. You have to make the right choice, but our scripture says God will help you. God wants to get involved in your life if you want to do His will. And the foundation of all guidance is this: God knows everything. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know who I'm supposed to meet. God knows that. And He knows best how His will. He tells us. Scripture begins. Here's your mission. You've got to do something for God. But God already knows what's the best way to accomplish your will. He already knows it. Isaiah 46:10.
Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all My pleasure.
This is incredible to get your head around. The Bible says He declares the end from the beginning. We can look back. You know, we talk about 2020 hindsight. You know, in hindsight, probably it wasn't a good idea to do that. But God has foresight. He sees things that haven't even happened yet, and He already knows it. So therefore, He has information that would really be helpful for us to know. Powerful scripture that caught my eye one day as I was reading of Jesus feeding the 5,000, and He asked Him, how are we going to feed these people? And the Bible says, John 6, He Himself knew what He was going to do. In other words, God knows how. He already knows. Some of you are wrestling with finances, sickness, fruitfulness, marriage, all that. God knows how. That's the foundation of everything in life, is God already knows what the answer is. He knows who the answer is. He knows where the answer is. He knows. You got to understand this. God knew that. While I'm wrestling, where should I go to pioneer? God knew the exact person that would go back and would influentially open doors. From this girl, we arrived on a Tuesday. We had Bible study in her house on Thursday. And that day, we met the wife of the vice president of Satan's Riders. By Thursday. God already knew. And influential, these people. And from this girl, she was the one who then, the following week, said, hey, what are you doing Saturday? We're going to go to a fashion show. And at the fashion show, I have zero interest in fashion. A catwalk, I'm sure that's really where I want to go. But that's where the people are. That's where her friends were. And I went there, and the girl who was in the fashion show, we met her. And Mike and Alina Cook, we met them, witnessed to them at the table at the fashion show that night. Mike and Alina Cook are pastoring to this day. They're preaching the gospel in Melbourne, Australia. God knew that. I didn't know that. So you've got to understand, God knows everything. So, the point of why I'm doing this lesson is to give you a confidence. This, I have learned this in life, is that God, I don't have the answer right now. I don't know why, having problems in fruitfulness or dominion or healing or money or, but you know. You know how to fix this. You know what the answer is. You know who I need to meet. You know where I need to be. That is the wisdom of God. So you have confidence, faith. You need to have faith in God's wisdom and His willingness to lead. So this scripture shows us something clear. God wanted Eleazar to find the girl. See, one of the problems, the devil messes with our head. When we're struggling, you can come to a wrong idea that God is hiding. Right? You know, why is this person not getting saved? Why is this person not getting healed? Why, well, you know, God, what's the problem? And if you're not careful, it's easy for the devil to mess with your head as though God's in heaven going, nope, nope, nope. Like he doesn't want to help you. Well, this scripture, it's clear. Think about this. He travels on a donkey almost 1,000 miles. You go in a city, you don't know anybody, and you got to pick somebody, and she's got to be in the right family, the right... How are you going to do that in the days before the internet? How are you going to go in a hard enough, good grief, to have to pick a wife for somebody else, but in a place you've never been, among foreigners, strangers to you, and you're going to pick the exact right one, and all the purposes of God are resting on it? Well, it's clear God wanted him to find her. That's my... It's not that Eleazar was so clever. I'm telling you personal stories, but that the point of that is not... I didn't arrange any of that. I'm not smart enough. Nor are you. But we serve a God who is, and he wants to help us. Isaiah 48:17.
Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go.
Interesting Bible principle that this scripture brings out. Often, you have a human problem. We need something from God. And God, in meeting that need, he doesn't just give a solution, he tells you who he is. Right? He did that with Abraham in the past. He said, you need fruitfulness, right? I am the Lord God Almighty. Therefore, walk before me, be perfect. I'll multiply you, make you fruitful. So, who God is the answer. In this case, we need guidance. He says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. In other words, I can show you how to have success. I will lead you the way that you should go. Isaiah 30:21.
Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left.
Okay, you'll hear a word saying, this is the way. Walk ye there. And when you develop a confidence in God, God speaks. Sometimes that's by a voice. I'm telling you, in Melbourne, it was the absolute clearest God has ever... I was sitting in my office thinking about how much I liked being in Melbourne, and it was almost like it was almost audible. It was like God spoke to me. He said, I want you to go to Johannesburg, South Africa. Man. That was very clear. God told me. Sometimes that's warning. I don't feel good about this. And anyway, that's a whole issue of guidance. But this is the confidence God will give guidance. So, we need to contend for guidance. How do you get guidance? So, we spoke, first of all, about the heart. That was in point one. But in this scripture is very simple. You ask God for guidance. Verse 12, verse 14, he asks, God, help me. He knows this is a difficult text. God, I need you to guide me. Personally, that was my prayer when I went out pioneering. God, I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste 2 years only to discover I'm in the wrong place. Help me. Help me to not waste time. Psalm 25, verse 4. Did I get that too? Psalm 25, 4 says, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. So asking God for guidance. So this issue of guidance is going to play out in many areas of life and ministry. Acts 16, 14 and 15.
Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us.
Okay, and so this is a foundational scripture. You ought to study this scripture. You ought to study Acts 16. It's a great scripture for pioneering. And a lot of wisdom in there. But this scripture shows us, number one, there are people that God has already opened their heart. Okay, everybody needs to hear the gospel. But there are people that God, this scripture says, whose heart the Lord had opened. You'll read it in other translations. It makes it sound like, they preach and then the Lord opened. But actually, the opening came first. And that's what God does. You're I'm announced Friday night to go to Launceston, Tasmania. Saturday night, a lady who came on vacation because her marriage was miserable, and she was getting away from her husband to try to enjoy life, and she comes to the concert and gets saved, and goes back. Tuesday we arrive. Thursday, one of her friends comes, who's miserable in her marriage, and she comes and gets saved. And then we go the following week, and we meet Mike and Alina, who were very successful at a young age, but were empty. God had prepared their heart. God already knows who's open. He can help us on outreach. He can help you, lead you to the exact one who's ready to receive. Number two, God has chosen people to be in the church. It's planned. There are things that are planned. God really wants certain people to be in a certain church and ordained that you're to meet them. Paul and the brothers, they go down to, again, using common sense, where are you likely to meet people? Down by the riverside. That was partly where ladies would do some work. This is where it's nice. It's a nice view, pleasant to sit on an off day. That's where people are. Right? It's like going to the entertainment district. That's where people are. And so when they go there, they just happen to meet this lady because God ordained for them to meet them. They were supposed to meet them. And there are people that God wants you to meet. Number three, is there people that God will cause to help you? The scripture says not only did God open her heart, not only was she supposed to be in the church, but thirdly, she says, come into my house and abide there. And so she constrained us or had us come. There are people that God will cause to help you. Supernaturally, I think it was Chris Hart just was preaching in South Africa, and they were showing him the original park that we opened in. And when I met this guy that was the communist atheist terrorist witch doctor guy, is this guy went and spoke to a friend and got us permission because somebody canceled a meeting on short notice, and the first half of the meeting in the funky area where I was not good. And so this guy got us permission to set up a tent right in the park where everybody would come to drink and get high and fornicate. And that's where he said he got us permission. We stayed there. We had permission to be there 3 days, and we stayed there for 2 months, I think. And so that was, he did that. He took me around. While he's a witch doctor, he took me around and introduced me to school principals. We're going to have at conference. You're gonna meet him after conference. He'll probably be in the service on the weekend after. One of the high schools, Lisa and I went in and did a concert here, you know, skinny little white people in a we did concerts in these schools. Lieben Brito got saved or heard the gospel in a concert that we did, and we got that open door because Paul the witch doctor went and introduced me to the principal. Think about that. And Lieben, we got a photo of the concert. He's sitting there sneering at us while we're over there. But Lieben got saved. He's preaching today. You're going to meet him after conference. And so God, listen, there are people, God can put you in touch with people that will help you. And that's true in your life right now. Not just ministry, but God knows the people who can help you financially, who can help you with jobs, who can help you with fruitfulness, equipment, open doors. God can do that. And that's the confidence that we have to have. All right, so the reason why I'm teaching you this now is this is a discipleship issue. Because guidance will affect your entire ministry. This is something you need to see at work in your life right now. Let me ask you a question. Is there any part of your life that you could point to right now and say, God led me supernaturally? I met this person, or God helped me. That happened only because it was supernatural. How did that door open? How did I get that? It was supernatural. Because this is not something. Many of the things that I teach you is I'm teaching you so that you can work on now. You don't want to get out in ministry and go, oh my God, I got to start learning how to have guidance. No, you need to learn now and letting God speak to you. Are you expecting guidance? When you pray in the morning, are you praying for guidance, for God to guide you in your day, in the things that you want? Are you expecting God is going to lead me to people? Listen, after God helped me in Launceston, going to Johannesburg, I had a confidence. He's gonna lead me to the right people. Do you have that confidence in your life? Because that's something you need to look for and have in your life right now. So part of this then becomes sensitivity. Is I believe that God speaks to everyone, but not everyone can hear His voice. 1 Kings 19:12.
And after the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire was still small voice.
Okay, so this is God speaks quietly. And probably the reason why God speaks quietly is He wants to know if you will value His voice enough to listen. Okay? As I said, God spoke incredibly clear one time. I can only tell you one time in my life where God said, Greg, go to South Africa. That was very clear. The other times it's not been like that. A lot of times it's a still small voice. And I can tell you hundreds of different ways and times that it's just, it was an impression. I don't feel good about that. And I was like, oh God, I thank you. Later on, I saw how important that was. So a sensitivity, you got to seek God's voice. If God has a still, small voice, part of that, very simply in prayer, is you got to shut up sometimes. Let God speak. In your life, some of you, you've grown up with noise. You got to have the TV and the radio on 24-hour day. Well, then God's not going to speak to you, is He? At some point in your life, you've got to get quiet. Whether that's in prayer, whether that's when you drive, whether that's out in the woods, somewhere, you got to let God speak. Okay, final factors in guidance. Our scripture shows us the heart that begins. We looked at that point one. We looked at God's willingness and seeking guidance. In number two. So here's some final factors that were in his heart that affected the guidance. Genesis 24:27.
And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on my way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren.
Okay, so thankfulness and worship affect guidance. This is a simple thought. God will guide you in some way, and if you take the credit for it, He's probably not going to be real excited about it. And this is so human nature. We left to ourselves, we would destroy ourselves. So God helps us. We make one good decision, and then we think, start telling me, you know, I'll tell you about that time when I made that great decision. Right? Is that it's obvious that Eleazar is not taking the credit for this. Is Eliezer, blessed be the Lord God of my master. I thank God. God guided me. God helped me. And thank God. When God gives you guidance, thank Him. It's like you. How many of you like giving gifts to snotty little brats that never say thank you? Right? But then someone that shows gratitude is like, man, I'm going to help that person. Second issue here is that God helps a man in motion. Powerful part of that scripture says, I, and the King James says, being in the way. New King James, other translation says, being on the way, the Lord led me. I emphasize this. Guidance comes, number one, in the normal course of life. Do not think of guidance as, you know, setting up a tent in the woods and just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm not going to do anything until a voice comes and says, Greg, yes, Lord, and now I can go. Is that He says, I being on the way. So that tells me it's in the normal course of life. But the second thing is it's when you are in motion in doing God's will, that's how you find it. God will not give you the name, address, and email address of the key person you need to meet before you go. But it's amazing how it's time to go to outreach. And I just happened to meet this guy at that moment in time, and so I being on the way. So that is those are crucial factors, but this is absolutely a crucial part of your life that you need to develop right now. Because if you develop this now, if you have some areas where you can point to and say, God, help me here, He helped me here, then you'll be like David. One day you say, well, He gave me guidance in this, He gave me guidance in that, so new city, new situation, bigger stakes, but God's going to help me here too. He's going to guide me here. Okay, let's open for some questions then, first of all, about guidance and ministry. Something you want to ask. Stephen?
If God's spoken something to you in the past and you willingly said, you know, I don't want that for my life, how does, as a disciple, how do you overcome, I don't know what it would be, like, I guess a fear or... You know, you want God to speak to you again. You're ready to be obedient again. I mean, are there dynamics that...
Well, you know, I think God responds to repentance. Is the whole, you know, whole gospel message is that God... You know, I can tell you from personal experience, God helps stupid people. Yes, foolish people. He helps us. And you qualify under that category. Everybody here, you qualify. Right, and so that's the good news, is that it's not a knife edge. God is a merciful God. Yes, we can do things that hinder and harm, and et cetera, et cetera. But bottom line is, people say, God, I shouldn't have done that, but I want to get right. Then God will speak again. Yes, I have confidence. Otherwise, we're all dead.
Has there been a time in your ministry when God gave you guidance through somebody else?
Very often through your pastor. That's very common. That's why people who go out to pioneer and don't keep in contact with their pastor are very foolish. Because it saves you a world of hurt. It's very common that guys will call, and it's obvious the moment I pick up the phone that their brains are scrambled eggs. Pastor, and they'll talk for a few minutes like, oh, thanks. And that's crucial moments where I would have handled things wrong. I told you the first time that Pastor Mitchell ever told me somebody needs to be put out of the church. And so I would have tackled him at church, and would have been the worst thing ever. Pastor Mitchell, why? Why do that? His wife will cry. Everybody will be like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Meet him at work, man. Don't ever let him come to church again. It's like, wow, what a great idea. That's powerful. So, yeah, I mean, God has helped me again and again and again. And then in simple issues of direction or whatever. Yeah.
How do you learn to distinguish between God's voice, the still small voice, and your own babble?
Well, you know, by same way you get to Carnegie Hall, practice, practice, practice. You learn to test those things, right? So God helps you in small areas. Fortunately, it's not like you know, I need guidance and God's going to go, all right, the big one is coming up Tuesday, and if you don't get this one right, the entire course of your whole life is, you're finished. Is often it's in small areas, and that's true in a lot of things. Small areas that are not life altering, then you develop confidence. Yeah, I did.
What might be my rambling.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, some basic guidelines is that God, you know, God is not going to tell you something that will violate His word. God is not going to tell you something that violates common sense. You know, He may tell you things that go against carnal wisdom, but He will not tell you something that violates common sense. Right? And so, those are basic guidelines. You develop a... The purpose of preaching and teaching is to develop a biblical filter. This is called a worldview. I look at life biblically. So I think maybe that's what I feel like doing, but you know what? Hey, that doesn't line up with the Word of God, so I discard that. And you develop that. You study the Word of God. You hear preaching. You seek God. And so there are things that get filtered out And then there are things that are not filtered out, but then you learn by experience. You know, I felt this impression, and when I acted on that, it's like, that worked out really good. I tried that, I wouldn't do that again. That was kind of dumb. But fortunately, it's small things that are not crucial to your whole life.
I remember when I got saved almost 2 years ago, I was going to a Spanish Christian church, and I was going to Prescott, and I was driving, and then God spoke to me and said, Alan, he said, you know everything about the Bible. If you talk to anybody, you can get him saved. He said, I go to heaven. But he said, but your heart is so far away from me, I don't even know you, he said. And I know because there was sin in my heart, but I was going to a Christian church, and I remember, I said, God, you know, I want to get right with you. And I remember I knew a lot of from our church, and I never wanted to come to our church or concert. And the first thing I put in my heart, I said, you got to get saved. And I was like, okay. You know, that's when I convicted it. And God told me, go to the potter's house. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I knew, you know, if I was going to go, I was going to get right with God. And I was like, God, where do you want me to go? And he just put the 180, the 180. I was like, okay. And I went, and I thank God, you know, because what if I wouldn't listen to him?
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yep. Absolutely. Other questions?
Just talking about the still small voice again, I remember usually when God has spoke to me that way, it's easy to tell it's not me, because it a lot of times has something to do with what I wouldn't have even come up with at all.
Uh-huh.
Two times specifically, I remember with a boss and with a foreman, there was issues and problems on the job, and I remember listening to a sermon on authority at a men's rally, and so that's a great sermon. I walked out and went to the bathroom, and while I was standing at the urinal, God clearly spoke to me and said, you need to go and repent to your boss for talking behind his back. It was the craziest thing, and I just knew it was so clear. It was so, I would have never come up with that on my own. I thought it was a great sermon for someone else. And another time with another boss, something kind of similar, just hassles and problems, but I'm a Christian. I can't act like that. And God spoke clearly as I was walking away from a confrontation I'd had with my boss. And just clear as a bell, stopped me in my tracks. You would never let your children do that to you. Why would you do that to your boss?
Mm.
It was such an off-the-wall, so I would have never come up with that. I knew it was God. And so it always seems like the still small voice is easier to tell, because I wouldn't come up with that on my own.
Yep.
That's too much common sense for me.
It can be. Somebody else. Question. Justin.
You said praying specifics in guidance. Like God guide me to the right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You get what you pray for, right?
Right.
He prayed for guidance and he got guidance. You don't. It's not just Lord bless. He was asking something specific. I got to find the right one. So let the girl. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a specific prayer. And that's my point. So, what I want out of this is, out of this lesson, is I want you not just to go, that's an interesting thought. I want you to specifically lay hold of God in the area of guidance. And there are some specific areas that you need guidance in. So, that might be, what are the problems you are facing? You know, think about this. When Jesus said, how are we going to feed these people? There was a problem. Jesus had the solution to the problem. So what's the biggest problem you currently face? Asking God for a solution to the problem. What's the solution? Show me how. You need to pray for God to show you how to fix the problems of your life. You know, fruitfulness. Finances, whatever it might be, but pray specifically in different areas of guidance. Make that a crucial part of your life. You should have, I recommend to you, somewhere you have scriptures written down, whether that's in your Bible or I have, you know, whole documents of guidance scriptures that I will pray over, especially when I'm needing God to speak to me. God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from heaven. And so begin to speak or to God about guidance, you know, making sure that you have an obedient heart, common sense heart, and then the ability to look back and say, God guided me there. Because that builds up little files of guidance that will help you in later life. Okay, so this should be very practical. I want this to be a practical lesson that you can look back practically and see how God helped you. Okay.